20 years ago, 433 asylum seekers were rescued at sea by a Norwegian freighter called the MV Tampa. The subsequent Australian government refusal to allow these asylum seekers to reach the mainland was a lightning rod moment for Australian immigration policy, beginning the eras of offshore processing and boat turnbacks, which still linger to this day. Earlier, I spoke with Madeline Gleeson, Senior Research Fellow at the Andrew and Renata Kaldor Centre for International Refugee Law at UNSW, and asked her how offshore processing became central to how we think about immigration.
It's curious that this image of offshore processing has become so central in many people's minds when they think of Australian immigration processing, but actually it's quite exceptional. Not only exceptional in the sense that only Australia does it and no one else in the world does it like what we do, but also exceptional because we have actually only ever done it in two different phases for very limited periods of time. It hasn't actually been a central part of how we have processed the vast majority of people who've come to this country seeking safety.
I mean, I'm thinking about the Australian government's response to the recent crisis in Afghanistan. We did have the Prime Minister saying that people, it's still invoking the rhetoric that alludes to Tampa, that people who arrived in Australia illegally or via boat would not be settled in Australia. Is this still something that is a real risk, or is it something that is, again, like a political fiction?
Well, one of the key differences between Tampa and now is social media and what that allows the average Australian to see and know about what's actually going on in these places that people are fleeing from. So for many Australians, it would have been really not convincing. On the same day that we've seen video and footage of people at Kabul Airport in sheer desperation trying to clamber onto planes to get out of there, to then also hear our Prime Minister say, our message is don't get on a boat, you know, people can compute this and think, well, obviously those people on that tarmac are just trying to flee however they can. And so once you start to recognise that disconnect, you think, well, who is he really talking to? And he's not really talking to the people who are fleeing Afghanistan. And he's not really talking to people elsewhere in our region who are, you know, in limbo or in danger and trying to find a safe place to get to. He's talking to the Australian public. And often we find that immigration and, you know, the threat of the incoming migrant is invoked, perhaps when it's necessary to distract from other political failings or other political goings on at the time. It's an easy one to point to and say, look at that risk over there, rather than, you know, think through more realistically what's going on.
It's interesting that you bring up social media, because I remember a key part of the Tampa affair 20 years ago was certain photos from the Department of Defence being used in the media in a certain way that created a narrative of children overboard. Is that correct?
That was an event that also happened around that same time.
Right.
There was sort of a series of events of reacting to boats in a way that was trying to really trigger within the Australian psyche an idea that the people coming by boats are a threat. And we have to remember that Tampa, you know, rescued those people, you know, a fortnight before the terrorist attacks of 9/11.
Mm.
So suddenly the global consciousness shifted to national security. And particularly, you know, younger men coming from the Middle Eastern region, that was something that could very easily be turned into a national security issue. The children overboard was a similar thing. It was, look how terrible these people are throwing their children into the sea. Now, perhaps if that had happened today, when there is more access to social media and stories can get out more easily, the falsehoods that were perpetrated then would have more readily come to light. However, it is important to note that there is a massive black spot still, and that is the incredible secrecy around Operation Sovereign Borders, which is our national boat turnback policy.
What do you think is the key legacy of the Tampa affair?
Looking back, I think the key legacy, and it's a worrying one, is it really cemented in Australian thinking the idea that there is something we need to fear in terms of people arriving by sea. And factually, it can be discredited. You know, if you look at the number of people really arriving by boat, it has never, even at its peak, it has never been so much as to threaten to overwhelm Australia. And there are processes in place. You know, Most people will not risk their life on a boat unless they really have to. And once they arrive, people arriving by boat are amongst the most highly vetted cohort of people who ever enter Australia. If you think about it, people before the pandemic used to fly in and out of Australia every day, perhaps not even see another human being, just going through an e-gate. We had no idea who they were. People who come by boat are registered, processed, every part of their story is detailed. But the legacy from Tampa was creating this idea that we need to control that border because there is a real, you know, risk to our nation that could come down through those seas, you know, if we're not tough and cruel and trying to be a deterrent. Mm. Whenever we hear anything about a policy that is trying to deter someone from getting on a boat, the deterrence is already there, inherent in the risks of that journey. So if somebody is finding themselves in a position where they're needing to get on a boat, rather than demonise that person or demonise the person that is facilitating their movement, the smuggler, perhaps we need to examine our processes and work out why they found themselves in a situation where that was their only option.
Madeline Gleeson, Senior Research Fellow at the Andrew and Renata Kaldor Centre for International Refugee Law at UNSW, speaking with me earlier.